Thank you, Lord. So this morning, I want to move right into the time of sharing from the Word, and then we will share in our worship and giving thereafter, and an announcement. I do want to make one announcement. It's a really important announcement, and that is we are in need of staffing in our kitchen, in our F3 Cafe. Many of you know we prayed over Wilma and just blessed her as she steps out further in what God has given her. And through Jesse's table. In doing that, it has created an opportunity. And we need more staff. Amen. We need more staff. That's a good thing to say. We need more staff. That means things are happening. Things are moving. We need more staff. And when this opportunity came up, Pastor Nina, who really was the visionary for the cafe, really stepped up and stepped into the role in the position of administrator for the cafe. But right now, she's just doing double duty, so she's not sitting here because she's up there in the cafe, in the kitchen, making sure that the meals are prepared and ready for the men. And so we want to extend this opportunity if you happen to be watching by way of live stream and you're looking for a job, you're looking for an opportunity to serve God, to serve the people of God, and you have any skills, any experience in food service, we'd like to talk to you. And so you can go to our website, heirscovenant.com, and there you can just leave us your information. We'd like to reach out to you and talk with you. Or you can come by Monday through Friday. Our kitchen is open because we serve the men that are here in the program three meals a day. We're at 621 South Erie Boulevard in Hamilton, Ohio. You can stop in and introduce yourself. Let us know your skills, and we'll see if it's a fit. All right? Amen. Let's pray for that right now because we really need that to happen. Father, we want to thank you right now that every need is already met. Just as the testimony, again, of the lady who needed the finances. God, I know what that's like, and God, you're not a respecter of persons. But you know what our need is here in our kitchen, our service to the men, the meals that are provided. And so we thank you right now for sending those individuals, sending them to be a part of the ministry that you've given us here, the assignment that you've given us here. And we thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Sandra, she's been working out of the kitchen for us as well. And it's kind of a different experience for her. Pastor Sandra, thank you, though. Amen. Thank you for how that you are giving yourself to this season as well. Hallelujah. Y'all can clap a little better than that. Come on. Come on. Give her, show her some love. Show her some love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, as I've been reading and kind of and looking at various things going on in the body of Christ and having the opportunity to travel and participate on multiple platforms, starting to hear and see some things that if we are not intentional in our pursuit of God, we can find ourselves missing out on some of the things that God has for us, some of the things God has for you. And it, very recently I was reading an article that really, paraphrasing it, talked about God is building his church. God is building his church. Worship team, thank you so much. You can come on down. God is building his church. Say, God is building his church. Come on, look at somebody, say, not your church, not my church. He's building his church. And as I was reading through it, there was a passage of scripture quoted, and it reminded me of a message that I shared a few years ago that's still relevant for us today. And I hope that as I share some of the points from it, that it'll really speak to you, even as it has spoken to me. Because when I travel, I have to be sensitive to where I go and who I'm with. Because every setting is different. Now, I'm not saying that out of a negative way. I'm talking about being sensitive to the people that you're ministering to so that what you feed them is what they really can handle. and that they're not choking on the word because they still need milk. Or you know, you don't serve them milk when they're ready for meat. Now, I'd like to think I'm not a milky teacher, but I just made that up. I'm sure at some point I was, but I'd like to think I've grown and I've gone through enough experiences now to be able to say some things with some weight behind them and some experience, some wisdom. And so so for about the next 30 minutes, and I want to just really give this word, make it real concise. We don't have to be here long. We don't have to be here all day. We never are. But the attention span of most people is 30 minutes, adults. For some, it's 15. For some, it's 5 minutes. Just depends on really kind of how you've calibrated yourself right now. Because, see, the age that we live in, I don't know about you, I really do have to be mindful of that. Because I can sit looking at TV with my computer on my lap and my iPhone sitting next to me. Now, you might want to say, you know, that's just multitasking. No, something might be wrong with that. If you got that many visual gadgets going on all at once, you might want to check yourself and make sure that you're really focused on what you need to focus on. But sometimes it takes intention. Say intention. Intentionality to get still. So as I found myself reflecting on this, I want to share for the next few moments on we are lively stones, not preformed bricks. We are lively stones, not preformed bricks. It's in 1 Peter 2, 4 through 10, it says this, and coming to him as to a living stone which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, it says, you also, now say that's talking about me. You also, say that's talking about me. Yeah, you also, he's talking about us. Okay, you also as living stones are being built up. Say being built up. As a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone. And he who believes in him, talking about Jesus, will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone. It's in Acts chapter 4, 11 and 12, it says this. He, meaning Jesus, is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which came before the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus was rejected because he did not look like what they expected or what they wanted. The reason why we have to be intentional to recognize we are lively stones and not preformed bricks is that we are not called to all be the same, look the same, act the same. Now, just stay with me because it does come together. We're not talking about you being a lone ranger. We're not talking about you kind of being out there just doing your own thing. The body of Christ is connected, and it talks about that in Ephesians, that each joint supplying its part. Therein lies that need for the fivefold ministries in operation, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, that helps you as a lively stone be prepared to fit where you're supposed to fit in his house. Jesus was rejected, and he was rejected because he didn't fit the mold, the mold, the mold, the mold. See, bricks are made from a mold. Stones are natural. bricks are made with a mold. Jesus didn't fit the mold. And John, his cousin, tried to help them to recognize when he came and said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It wasn't just talking about repent from sin. It was talking about you're going to need to change the way you think. You're going to need to change the way you think, and you need to change the way you think now, or you're going to miss him when he comes. Now, I want to go back to what I was saying week before last when I talked about being prepared for the unprecedented. And I remember saying, are you prepared? And somebody said, yeah. I said, and then all of a sudden, I'm going to say it again. It's like the Holy Ghost checked me. Oh, are you? How can you be prepared for that which you've never seen before? How can you say you're prepared for the unprepared? And my answer was, am I prepared? I don't know, but I want to be. Yeah. See, all God needs from you and I is some want to be, some want to. God, I want to do it. I want to. He can work with that. So John was trying to help them because Jesus was coming, and everything that God did was to dismantle the religious systems that were set in place. Because he never intended that you and I would operate out of religious systems, but rather out of relationship with him as his body. And therein lies kind of the rub that we have right now for the body of Christ. Because not every finally tuned, finely oiled machine is truly accomplishing all that God has intended. You see, the church is organic. It's not an organization. It's organic. It's alive. It's moving. It's shifting. And when you think about bricks versus stones, there's a whole different look that comes into play. And I'm going to show you that in just a moment. But in Acts 4, Peter is preaching, and he's saying to them, look, now this is the same passage that we looked at where they were being threatened not to preach in the name of Jesus. And he's saying, okay, now I'm going to tell you what really happened here. See that guy that came to save the world? You rejected him. You killed him, but he came back to life. That's the guy we serve. That's the name we speak in. And while you thought you were finished with him, you rejected him, but he's now the chief cornerstone. The scriptures talk about the foundation being laid on apostles and prophets, but Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Jesus is the one that holds it all together. Jesus was rejected because he didn't look like what they expected or wanted. See, we have to be careful with talking about the unprecedented and what we are believing for, because when folks start to show up and they don't look like you, don't talk like you, don't smell like you, can we still receive them as a stone, as a living stone that just needs to be honed, needs to be worked on? And the goal is not to make everybody a brick. Now, in every house, there needs to be order. But we're not like the Borg in Star Trek. They were the enemy of the Starfleet, the Borg. Y'all, anybody remember the Borg? They had one statement that they would say. And it was this: your resistance is futile. You will be assimilated. And basically what they were saying is, no matter what you do, you will come up under our rule. That's not the church. That's not the church. There's some churches that operate that way, but that's not what God has intended. They're producing more bricks than they are lively stones. See, bricks all look the same. They have the same function, but lively stones are different. And each is unique, and I want to just kind of help us with this, because when Jesus came, they were expecting someone who would have all the royal apparel, who would have the look, and unfortunately, down through history, there are those artists who have done some very nice pictures, but they don't really represent who Jesus was, who he is, and what he really looked like. His hair was not nicely permed and curled, and his beard wasn't nicely cropped, and that angelic pose with the light shining on him. That wasn't Jesus. In Isaiah 53, 1 through 3, it says this. This is from the Message Bible. Who believes what we've heard and seen? King James says, whose report will you believe? Who would have thought God's saving power would look like this? Who would have thought that God's church would look like this? I so love the variety that I see here this morning. God's intended that we be lively stones and not preformed bricks. I just want to say to you, just to get it out in the atmosphere again, there is no black church. There is no white church. There is no Hispanic church. There's only one church. And every church that's truly operating in kingdom should have the manifestation of variety in it, because it should be full of lively stones, not preformed bricks. Who would have thought God's saving power would look like this? Who would have thought this would be the guy? It says the servant grew up before God, a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. I'm telling you, church, we have got to be sensitive to the things that are going on. You have to know that celebrity Christian, say that. That's an oxymoron. Celebrity Christian, and yet we kind of throw that around, and we've got them everywhere. I purposed a long time ago, God, I don't want people to be drawn to me. I don't want people to be drawn to my personality. I don't want people to be drawn to the way I look, stature, none of that. I need them to be drawn to your presence, because any given moment, something can shift. And if it's not his presence that's drawing, I believe you're here because of the presence. I know you're here because of the presence, because when I'm not here, you still come. That's a good thing. Come on, clap right there. That's when you know you're leading the right way. But in my traveling, and I'm grateful for the travel that I do, and the work that I have, opportunity I have to do down in Abbeville and different places, and I love the fact that they honor me, but I still make sure I set the record straight. Because when they get up and they say, we're still so grateful that God would send a man of his caliber to be with us. And I'm saying, well, wait a minute. We all lively stones. Okay? I mean, I get honor. I do. But I'm saying, look, if you're not careful, you can miss what God is doing. Just like they missed Jesus, because in their heart and mind, they were expecting somebody else, wanted somebody else. It says there was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. It says he was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and the people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum. Now, you may think, I'd never do that. But have you ever walked past someone and you just discounted them based on the way they looked, based on what they had on, based on how they smelled? We are lively stones, not preformed bricks. Jesus came to model that my kingdom can show up any way it wants to. Any kind of way it wants to. Through anyone. It's in 1 Samuel 16. It's the story of David being anointed king. And you'll remember that David, Saul had disobeyed God. God told Samuel, I want you to go to Jesse's house, because there I have one that I'm choosing as king. The people chose Saul. The people wanted a king. He gave them one that he knew they would like. He was tall. Scripture says he was handsome. He was nice to look at. All those things, he knew they'll like this guy. So I'm going to give them what they want, what they think they want. So when Saul disobeyed God, he told Samuel, tell Saul he's done. I'm picking somebody now. He sent him to Jesse's house, and when he gets there, he asked Jesse to bring his sons before him, so he brings his sons. I believe it was seven of them. He brings those sons before him. Everyone he brought before him wasn't the one. Wasn't the one. So Samuel, being the man of God who knows God, he says, you got any more sons? And for whatever reason, when Jesse pulled his sons together, he didn't bring David. Now, there's some speculation about that, and we won't get into all that right now, other than to say he was working his job. We'll just say he was working. And he says, we're going to stand right here till you go get him. I like to think of it like this. When we talk about lively stones, some of them are still out there working. Some of them are still out there in the streets. And for some, we got to go get them. For others, we got to call them in. The difference between a brick wall and a stone wall is you know the space you need to put the brick. You don't necessarily know the space you need to put the stone. Because the wall is being formed stone by stone. You can calculate with brick, but you can't calculate with stone. Bring in David, and he anoints David. Now, you know the other brothers had to be feeling some kind of way. Didn't matter. God said, he's the one. And Samuel said this, man looks on the outward, but God looks on the heart. It's interesting because when Jesus chose the 12, he didn't go out and find 12 guys exactly alike. He found them from various backgrounds. And if you've ever seen some of the series Chosen, is it Chosen or The Chosen? Chosen. It's a wonderful series that shows some of those dynamics. And they were fighting with each other and going at each other. And most of the time, Jesus just ignored them. Sometimes you got to ignore folk while they're having their tantrum. You got to ignore them and stay focused. Jesus chose a group that had very little in common except for him. It says this in Acts 1, 12 through 14. Now this is when Jesus had told them to wait till you be endued with power. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, that is, Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all, with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Even though they were different, they were able to come together with one mind. See, the goal isn't to make everybody the same, but there is a goal to have one mind. One purpose. If we are going to accomplish what God has given us to do together, we are lively stones, not preformed bricks. Colossians 1, 13 through 18. It's Jesus who holds everything together. It says, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transformed us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. We are held together by Christ in the person of Holy Spirit, or we can say his grace. His grace. I want you to see this next slide here. I hope you can see it. Can you put this next slide up? Okay, can you see that? Can you see the stone and the brick? I want you to notice that the beauty of the church really comes in its diversity. The church really is the physical manifestation of the kingdom of God in the earth. When you look at the brick, you see it very conformed. You look at the stone, its appearance is diverse. Its appearance is diverse. I'm talking about this picture right here. It's diverse. There's something about the diversity of the colors that causes it to have a unique beauty in and of itself. There is strength that comes from combining our unique differences, yes, that is not found in uniformity. You see those bricks? That's uniformity. That's uniformity. But in lively stones, there is the need to be able to appreciate every stone. There's the need to appreciate every stone. One of the things about stonework done back in the times of Jesus, back in the times of Moses, in the building, it's in Exodus 20, verse 25, it says this. If you make an altar of stone for me, it says, you shall not build it of cut stones. For if you wield your tool on it, you will profane it. Deuteronomy 27, verse 5 through 8 says this. Moreover, you shall build there an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. Say stones. Stones. Of stones. You shall not weld an iron tool on them. You shall not build the altar of the Lord your God of you shall build the Lord, you shall build the altar of the Lord your God of uncut stones. And you shall offer on it burnt offerings to the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 27, 5 through 8. It reads again, this is from the message. It says, build an altar of stones for God, your God, there on the mountain. Don't use an iron tool on the stones. Build the altar of God, your God, with uncut stones, and offer your whole burnt offerings on it to God, your God. God was clear, saying to them, do not take stones and cut them to build an altar. Why? One is because that's what all the other nations were doing as they were cutting and forming things to give the image that they wanted it to have. In other words, what they're saying is, don't put your hands on it. Don't try to make it look the way you think it ought to look. When we are even in worship, and this is the beauty of our worship as lively or living stones, your worship is unique to you. Now, our worship team, we do rehearse. They got rehearsal today. And they work together to blend and harmonize together. But they are still uniquely individual lively stones. What causes a ministry to flourish is when you're able to embrace every stone. And what it brings to the worship. What it brings to the building of something that will glorify God. I want you to go back to the picture of the bricks and the stone. I was doing some Googling and I was saying, what is stronger, a brick wall or a stone wall? A stone wall. A wall that's built with stones will always be stronger, even though a brick wall can be strong. A stone wall, for the most part, will always be stronger. Now, I know we may have some folks in here that have some building experience and that kind of thing. But there's some truth to this. Construction of brick masonry is quick. As the uniform size, no, I need you to stay with the brick and the brick, and yeah, stay right there. I'm gonna read this. I need them to have the visual. The construction of the brick masonry, the red brick, is quick, as the uniform size and regular shape of bricks facilitates its maintaining proper alignment. Say proper alignment. Yeah, because they're preformed. You don't have to measure every brick. Matter of fact, if you buy a pallet of bricks and they're all square, it's a pallet. If one of them is off by a quarter of an inch, it's defective based on the rest of the pallet. So you know you can't use that, or if you're going to use that brick, it's going to take more mortar to use that brick. They're preformed, whereas the dressing and handling of stone, listen to this, need more time and extra labor in its construction of stone masonry. Sometimes, hear me, sometimes we really do, if we're not careful, we want the quick fix. We want, give me the ABC, give me the 1-7 that's going to get me there, when God is saying, no, I'm operating out of a body of living stones. And as a result of that, it will take more time for proper placement, for right placement. Sometimes you can be in one setting, you can be in a particular church and you function there a certain way, and yet God has purposed to use you in a different way, in a different place, in the wall, in the building. And if you think that you're going to do the same, a lot of times now when you are dealing with when you're dealing with bricks, when you're dealing with denominations, it can be easy to fit in. Not so easy with stones. Not so easy when you're a part of a body. I'm not talking about this loose, but I'm talking about you're part of a body that really gives itself to presence and being led by God. So here at Ayers, I'm just saying this. We have structure. But we rely on Holy Spirit to give us direction. One of the things that it said was, when the stone is being worked on, going back to Exodus 20 now, it says, you shall not cut the stones. And wait a minute, one other passage said, and you don't do the work at the place where the stones will be set. That work is done at a quarry. Say quarry. How many know what a quarry is? A quarry is a place where they're doing excavation. of rocks or minerals and those kind of things. And then those stones are taken from there and then placed where they're going to be. One of the things that I believe God's going to help us to recognize in these coming months, coming years, is how he's moving through his body as living stones and not preformed bricks. When you look at this image up here, you can see the bricks and how they're aligned. When you look at the stone, you can't see any particular line that seems to go just either horizontal or vertical. But there is pattern to it. There is pattern to it. It's just not as easily seen. It takes more time, extra labor in constructing the stone wall versus the brick wall. I believe that we're in a season where God is rebuilding some things in his church. He's rebuilding some things in his church. And it's taking time because he's making sure it's right. And you and I, as lively stones, we have to be okay with that time frame as well. We have to be willing to not get ahead of what the master builder is doing. Stonewalling and cladding a wall with stone, listen to this, is slow. It's a slow, laborious job, requires a lot of skill and patience that many enthusiastic, listen, self-builders may not have. And above all, it is highly physically demanding. Stonewalling or cladding a wall with stone is a slow, laborious job, requires a lot of skill and patience that many enthusiastic self-builders may not have. Above all, it's highly physical and demanding. I had the opportunity to work at a piece of property, and this gentleman was having a stone wall built. And I'll never forget, now I wasn't working on the wall because I wouldn't know what to do other than bring those stones over here. That I did do. However, I'm watching this stone masonry builder build this wall. And I'm watching him in the process of building the wall. Unlike bricks, now hear me, unlike bricks where you can just grab a brick, slap down some mortar, set it in, do that, get another one, set it in, da, da, da. That's not how it works. He looks at the stones, looks at the wall. He looks at the stones, he looks at the wall. He picks up a stone and he's looking at it. He looks at the wall. Then he recognizes this stone ain't gonna work right here, but it'll probably work down there. So he doesn't take that stone, he grabs another stone and he picks that one up and he begins to set them in place. It takes time. It will take time to find your place. I'm talking to somebody right now. It'll take time to find your place. Holy Spirit is the master builder. He is the one who sets us in place, and he has a way of helping us to just stay right there, stay right there, stay right there, stay right there. And when the time is right, that's when he takes and sets in place. Each stone has its proper place. And when it's in its proper place, you see the beauty of it once it's all finished. Sometimes you might be this stone and somebody else is this stone and somebody else is this stone and you want to be this stone, but you don't know that this stone, you don't know that this stone is about to get hit. Hear me now. Because you might be just the right size for the right time in the right place. This stone, the master builder can look at it and say, man, this will work, but I'm going to have to knock that edge off right there. Just do a pow, and then sets it in place. See, for some, it's about the edges getting knocked off. Not trying to form you into something different, but all of us have edges that need to be knocked off. Don't look at anybody like you know what they need needs to be knocked off of them. But you know what I'm saying. We all go through that, depending on how God is using us in whatever season. It requires a lot of patience. And so we who are the lively stones, we must be patient in the process as well. So the way that God has purposed to use you will be in the right place, the right position at the right time. I watched that master builder build that wall all the way down the driveway. And when it was done, it was beautiful. But what made it beautiful was the master builder knew where to set everything. Before that, it was just a pile of rock. And to the untrained eye, like my eye, I look at it and it's just a pile of rocks. When we moved into our house 25 years ago, across the back of our property, was a stone wall. And that stone wall, it just went across the back. And it looked good. And then we got the revelation that we were going to take some of those stones and make a flower bed to go around our house. Now, what I didn't account for in that exercise, is what it says here. Stonewalling or cladding a wall with stone is slow, laborious, requires skill and patience. It is highly physically demanding. And so we'd run back there with the wheelbarrow, and I think Chris was helping me at the time, and we started loading stones in. Visually, you're thinking, okay, this wheelbarrow will hold this much. So you put all these stones in it, and then you... But you do that about 20 times. Now, that's just getting the stones to the next location. As living stones, God will move us from one location, depending on what he's building. But once you get to the next location, there may need to be a little work done on you to fit. And so we built this beautiful wall around, and it was there for years, and then moved it again. And I think we might have paid Christopher that time. I think I might have paid Christopher that time to move the rock, to move the stones. One of the things about the master builder is that he has an eye of appreciation for every stone. For every stone. There is space, there is place for you as a lively stone. Yes. Just a couple more points here. Brick masonry requires less mortar. Less mortar. Less grace. Whereas stone masonry requires more mortar, more grace, which cannot be easily estimated. Each placement, each person is different and unique. Brick masonry, it requires less mortar, less. When you look up there, you can just see it's just all the same between each brick all the way through. It's less mortar. What you can't see from this distance is between those stones, there's varied degrees of mortar. You see, there's varied degrees of grace that you and I have on our lives, have to experience if we're going to be who God has called us to be and to be that collectively. Say grace. I so love how Edie just really picked up on that grace this morning. You see, brick masonry, it requires less mortar, less grace, whereas stone requires more mortar, or I like to say grace. But it can't be easily estimated because you are unique, because you are a lively stone. The grace required for you, the spiritual mortar required for you to fit, may be different than for someone else. And it takes a master builder. It takes the Holy Ghost to be able to help you, help us, help all of us recognize the grace that's available to us. It is that grace that causes us to be able to walk together, work together. I said this years ago in one of our previous locations, grace to grow together. Grace to grow together. How many of you would be honest enough to say, I've needed some grace? How many would say, I still need some grace? Don't look at anybody when you say that. I still need some grace. But when you're dealing with stones, when you're dealing with a stone wall, a stone building, you have to be able to estimate the grace, the mortar that's going to be needed for these stones to come together. It's less in a brick wall setting or putting bricks in place. Each placement is different. And it's unique. When I think about the years of ministry and all the people who have come and gone through Heirs and those that have come and stayed, it's all about God's grace. Yes. Operating in His grace. Yes. And I remember on one occasion I had a situation happen with one of the members and one of my leaders, and I addressed it with both, but the person didn't feel like I addressed it well with the leader. And they came to me and they let me know that that's how they felt about it. And I remember saying to them, I said, I am dealing with them out of the same level of grace that I deal with you. And I just simply said, if you want me to change the way I deal with them, then I'm going to have to change the way I deal with you. I'm talking about the grace. Stone masonry requires more mortar because you're building something that you can't calculate. You have to be able to estimate it. You have to be able to visually see it. And when I talk about visually see it, I'm not talking about seeing it in the natural. I'm talking about seeing it in the spirit. I'm talking about Holy Spirit giving you revelation of someone, giving you revelation of a call, giving revelation of purpose, giving revelation of a destiny that you're able to see and then know the grace that needs to be extended to them in order for them, one, to fit. And the challenge is that for many, they come and go because they don't understand the process of the master builder. Meaning that I'm placing you here, but right now you're just in the pile. I haven't set you in place yet, but can you get okay with just being in the building? Can you get okay with just being in the house? Can you get okay with being on site, knowing that it's just a matter of time before the master builder lays his hands on you, picks you up, looks you over, and says, now is your time. You were brought to the pile for such a time as this. You were brought to this location for such a time as this. Can you get okay with just waiting? And can you get okay when you look around and you see some stones are bigger? Can you get okay with that? You see, in the last location, you were big and the rest were small. You were a big stone and a lot of little stones. So that made you feel quite significant. But now you come here, and there's boulders here. Can you be okay until the master builder establishes, sets in place? He does have a master plan for his church. He has a master plan for the body, and you and I are a part of it. It takes more grace when you are acknowledging that you are relating to and working with lively stones than you are with bricks. When we establish heirs, we took our time, as we continue to take our time, in establishing who we're called to be in this season. We're not trying to assimilate people. We're not trying to take away folks' personalities. We're not trying to take away your calling. What we are trying to identify with is how it fits here. That takes time. That takes patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. It takes time. It takes Holy Spirit revelation, Holy Spirit insight, in order for you and I to be able to know, find our place. As the pastor and the apostle of this work, I continually pray for wisdom, revelation, and insight for every person that comes here, whether they stay or not. Yes. Recognizing we are working with lively stones. And sometimes that lively can be lively. See, there's personality with stones. There's no personality with bricks. Every brick is the same. But when you have a body of believers and it's a body of lively stones, listen, we're not supposed to all have the same, talk exactly the same. Now, I do share principles that I hope you understand. But your inflection of your voice is your inflection of your voice. The day you start trying to talk like me, you're in trouble. There is a uniqueness that comes from lively stones. There's a difference when Pastor Jamal gets up and preaches and when I speak. There's a difference when Pastor Deborah gets up or one of our other leaders. Because what we want is the expression from that stone. It's not bricks. It's stones. There is blessing and increase. There is power. As a matter of fact, this is my last point for now. Stone masonry possesses higher strength, durability, and weather resisting qualities than brick masonry. Now, I have to believe, I just choose to believe, and I think there's probably some truth to it, that with the hurricanes and the things that have happened, that there's probably some stone walls that withstood it better than brick walls. Because, see, brick, the way that it is, as a matter of fact, we have a brick building. If you go out and you look at the top of the building, you'll see what's called, it's kind of like a bowing of the brick. There's a particular term for it. Where the brick, although it laid flesh at one time, it has kind of bowed out. Stone doesn't do that. Stone doesn't do that because, one, they're not necessarily on top of each other. What's holding them together is the mortar, and the more mortar there, the more grace there, the stronger the stone wall is. And so when I look out over our body, I look over our body and I look to see the lively stones. And then I pray and I look to see, and our leaders pray and we look to see, where does this stone fit? This isn't about qualification. It's about identification. You're qualified in Jesus, but it's about the identification and understanding that when that master builder grabs one of those stones, the stone is qualified just being in the pile. But now it's about identifying where that stone fits and how much mortar will it take? How much grace is it? How much grace is it going to take? And once you understand that, you know how to extend that grace in order for that stone to fit. And once that stone is set in place and then that mortar gets set, now you've got something you can work with. And I want to close by saying this. More stones are coming. More stones are on their way. And as they come, and as we go into the quarry of life and begin to excavate track, God's going to begin to show us, grab this one, grab this one, grab this one. Grab this one and bring them back and let them sit. And I, as the master builder, will set them in place. This community is like a quarry. Hard to see the value. Hard to see the value until you begin to excavate and you begin to pull out the minerals. You begin to pull out the stones. God would that we would be some of those Holy Ghost excavators. Like Gary and Andrea and Lynn, George, Sandra. Madeline, who give themselves to going out and just walking the streets. You know what they're doing? They're in the quarry. They're looking for the lively stones to excavate. It is Holy Spirit and the presence of God that does the work on every stone. Not for you, not for me to put my hand on anyone. What I mean by that is we cannot operate out of our flesh. We can operate out of the Spirit and know. But when God was saying, when you set that altar for me, don't cut that stone. He's saying, I need it to be true, real, and authentic. I need it to be what I created it to be, not what you make it to be. And so I close by saying this, church, our assignment is still the same. To reach the lost, bring them in, train them, equip them, and send them out. That has been and always is our assignment. Holding forth the word of truth, equipping and discipling believers, inviting all to experience God in worship, reaching the lost for Christ, serving families and communities in love.